start with the minutes, as requested by Honorable Dango. The minutes of the 10th of August.
Yes, Chairperson, it's not yet 10 o'clock, Chair.
Yes. And then what we will then do, then it will be presentation from the department. Any apologies? I only see the apology from the acting DG.
Yes, Chairperson, and also the minister is attending the same meeting.
Okay.
And Honorable Chim.
Oh, yeah.
And Honorable Mushodi.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, okay. Not good.
Because, Chairperson, before we start, I just want to check with the team from the department because I don't see them. I don't know whether there is anyone from the department, but those that have given the name, like Mr. Samis, head of the delegation, and Mr. Pagera, they haven't yet logged in.
Okay.
If I just check if there's anyone.
Yeah, just check with them.
Yeah. Chairperson,
are we ready now?
Yes.
Recording in progress.
We are ready, Chair.
Okay. Let me then take this opportunity to formally open this meeting of the Select Committee on Transport, Public Works and Infrastructure, Public Service Administration and Monitoring and Evaluation. Is the meeting where we'll be hosting the department to give us an update in terms of the rural road management system that they are using to get an overarching picture in terms of what is the status of both paved and paved roads. But also this meeting takes place after we had an exciting oversight visit to Northern Cape. And I must again express my appreciation on the availability of the members to make sure they were able to do our work. Can we then ask the committee secretary to present the apologies to us?
Thank you, Chairperson. And good morning, honorable members and colleagues. The apologies that we have received are as follows. There's an apology of Honorable Brotherthef, apology of Honorable Mushodi, and a standing apology of Honorable Lansman. We also received an apology from the minister and the acting director general who are attending the cabinet committee meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Supera. Honorable members, let's note those apologies and then move to the next item on the agenda. Which will be the minutes of the meeting that we had on the 10th of August, where the Select Committee were hosting the Department of Public Works and infrastructure to give us an update in terms of the work thus far done by the Infrastructure South Africa on the National Infrastructure Management Strategy and the progress report on the rollout of the infrastructure investment plan and a number of projects that were signed off. Honourable members, we start with the committee members that were present on that meeting. Those are the attendees. And the apologies as reflected also. And the next paragraph deals with our guests that were in attendance. And the parliamentary chief from the Community Secretary, the Research, and also the Committee Assistant. And those were the open remarks that were made. And the presentation was led by Minister and also Professor Samakopa. Those are the issues that were covered from 3.1 to 3.6. Infrastructure investment rollout, project pipeline, and the progress on the strategic integrated projects, the infrastructure fund. And then those were the input, comments, and deliberations that were raised by honorable members in terms of the feedback upon the presentation that was made. You can see that the committee dealt with the key progress on that and the extent to which some of the success rates were raised and the shortfalls, which was also indicated, but also the time frame in terms of some of the projects. You can also see the reflection on the small harbor program and the clarity that was given on the flash damaged bridges, both in KZN and also in the Eastern Cape. Yeah, those were the minutes. Honourable members, any reflection on those minutes as tabled?
Chairperson, if I may, I was present.
Thank you, Honourable Dango, for moving.
I was indicating, Chair, that he was present, but he's not recorded. Yes, so.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Can you just correct that in this?
Yes, I will, Chair.
Okay, beautiful. Honorable
Marathon, put
your hand also up.
Yeah, good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. I think I did send my apology. I don't know because I don't see any apology from me.
Okay. Let us also add that apology. Thank you for that clarity, Honorable Marathon. With the amendments made to the minutes, can we then get a mover for that option?
Can I also make a correction, Chair? I think 4.5, I don't know whether it's American English.
4.5?
On small harbors, the spelling, I don't know if that harbor is, whether it's American English.
Program.
Yes, let's correct spelling, honorable members. You will reflect the spelling on harbors.
Okay. With that, I second the minutes.
Thank you, honorable Khai. Therefore, the minutes are duly adopted. We will then move to the next item. We are informed that from the apology that we received, we are informed that the delegation will be led by Mr. Makoto Mahlala, the chief financial officer who will be leading the investigation, supported by Mr. Fushane and Mr. Mapakela, both the chief director of both engineering and the director of both infrastructure and industry development. I see the hand of the Honorable Apleni.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I'm so sorry. I will log out during the meeting because I'm traveling to Eastern Cape from Cape Town.
That is noted, Honorable Apleni. That is noted. Thank you. Over to you, CFO. Mr. Makala, are you with us?
Yes.
The floor is yours, Mr. Makala.
Yes, Chairperson. I still see some two hands. I'm not sure, Chairperson, if they are old hands or what, or can I proceed? I just wanted to check my colleagues who are supposed to assist me were struggling with connection. I'm not sure if they are here. But then let me check if I'm able to share the slide. I'll just, Chairperson, switch off my camera for the quality of the presentation. If you allow me to share the presentation, it will be done through two of my colleagues. The first one is about the rural road asset management, the Chairperson and Honorable Members. And the second part, as you have indicated, Honorable Chairperson, will be dealing with the provincial route maintenance grant, as the Chairperson has indicated. And as you have noted, our apologies, our acting DG and the DDG Roads were unable to join us because they are attending a cabinet a meeting this morning, and they asked that I lead the delegation of the road branch. I just put the slide on the here where I'm indicating, Chairperson, that we will be presenting to the CILOC Committee on Transport, Public Service and Administration, Public Works and Infrastructure this morning. And the outline of the presentation, Chairperson and members, as you can see there, they will be giving a background of the provincial road maintenance grant, and will also give a background on the rural road asset management grant. And then we'll go into detail, firstly dealing with the rural road asset maintenance grant, and thereafter we'll present to the committee the provincial road management grant, the budget data, the 2014 to 21 analysis, the historical background of this particular grant, the 2022 MTF allocation, and also give the highlights on the 2023 first quarter expenditure report, Chairperson. Then we'll also share with the committee the provincial road maintenance grant physical indicators for the current financial year. We'll share with the members the targets that we have and the condition that we have put to the provinces, and we'll give to the members the progress on the quarter one report. Furthermore, we want to present to the audit committee, to the portfolio committee, select committee on the additional support that we are giving to the road authorities, and therefore thereafter share some recommendation. Chairperson, with that introduction, I'm gonna ask first of all Msundisi just to deal with the first part, then we'll ask Waitima Pakela to take the second part of the presentation. Through you, Honorable Chairperson, can Msundisi do that?
Indeed, they can take over now as per your delegation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, CFO. Just for introduction purposes, I've showed my face. The name is Msondizi Fuchane from the Department of Transport. Next slide. I'm talking on the rural asset management grant, which is transferred to local government at a district level. The grant funds the collection of data and the usage of rural roads in line with the road strategic framework of South Africa. So it's not necessarily building infrastructure, but it's helping to collect the data in order to plan effectively for the maintenance and building of roads. You will see this, what I'm saying, in the last slide of the presentation. The information provides guidelines as to what roads need to be built or prioritized first in terms of the extent, the conditions, the traffic, the road safety hotspots, and the bridges. That information that the grant focuses in collecting. When we started with the grant in 2011, we started with the 21 districts due to budget constraints, but now we've covered the whole country, the 44 districts, of which under 44 districts, we have got all the local municipalities. The reason why we are transferring to the districts is for coordination purposes only, but the district, they ensure that local municipalities participate and are kept informed. Last slide. Next slide, sorry, not last. At the transferring officer in terms of the constitutional framework published in DORA, Division of Revenue Act, is a transport department, vote 40. The strategic goal is to ensure efficient and effective investment in municipal roads. We work with this strategic goal with the MIG, which is administered by COCTA. The purpose is to assist district municipalities to set up REMS, road asset management systems, and collect road, bridges, and traffic data in the main. Next slide, please. These are the outputs of the conditional grant, and these outputs are reported quarterly to National Treasurer, indicating the data, the traffic, the borrow pit management, road safety assessments data, and to at least prioritize the roads that make implement. That part is progress, which is not necessarily a complete exercise, it's continuous. The priority, this grant is part of priority number 5, special integration, human settlement, and local government. So it covers those areas of government priorities. Next slide. These are the details that we require from the district municipalities in terms of their business plans. The business plans will, in the main, in terms of the contents, contain the network hierarchy, the performance management, gap analysis, information systems, life cycle planning, current and future demand, financial plan, monitoring, reviewing, plan for conditional improvements. These details are contained in a standard framework called technical methods for highways in terms of the asset management. We do this at district or at local government and provincial and national level. Next slide. These slides, I think next 2 or 3, contain a set of conditions that we review every year with the district municipalities. Next slide. Yeah, these conditions continue. We have got a set of roads in terms of classification, class 1, class 2, class 3. Then we set the time frame at which you must collect and assess data. And the other set of roads is class 4, class 5, and to the least class 6, which is non-motorized transport. We set the time frame on which you must collect the data. That is where we measure the age of data. Next slide. The conditions continue in this slide, where we work with National Treasury, and also we've introduced a human capacity development with the graduates that are employed at district level, that they must not only do the engineering, but they must also be able to do data analysis, which concludes or includes the data science aspect. You collect data, but you need to have a capability to analyze and maintain going forward. Then we've got the allocation criteria. We count the local municipality under each district. Then we multiply that with the extent of the network at that level. Next slide. The reasons why we did not incorporate it into the workshop, the grant was negotiated with the National Treasurer, and it was discovered or determined that Equitable Share has a lot of demands. Let's create a new grant that will assist in collecting data. When we started, we didn't have the statistics. For example, the data when we started, it was about 4%. And now we've covered the whole country and the data is 100%. What is continuing as a challenge is the data exchange format, so that people can submit information in a standardized way, interpreted in a fairly uniform way. And the next row indicates the past performance. That's the audited financial outcomes. And the next one is the service delivery performance, where we provide the figures of where we are. The most interesting one is that in this program, we recorded a number of 159 graduates across the country. And that's what we need to argument when we say we've got a human capacity intervention. So that number grows, not in terms of the quantity, but in terms of also the quality. We have to train them, not necessarily recruit. Next slide. This slide details or provides the responsibility of the transferring officer, which is the Department of Transport. Next one, you will see a couple of slides, I think three. This is the municipal little responsibilities. And in this, we include provinces. So that the assist at municipal level in terms of coordination and providing the strategic special frameworks with the local municipalities or the municipalities in their own spaces. Next slide. Next slide, Chair. Yeah, this is the process of approval for the each year going forward in terms of 2023-24 in this case. So we expect district municipalities to submit the business plans, which we call them road asset management plans. We did that by 31st of this year. And the plans contain the following information that is indicated. This is a standardized way. We completed the process of evaluating their business plans by 30th of June 2022. Then the transfers continued after that period, I think in August. You'll check the particular date. Next slide. Yeah, this is what I indicated in the preface of the presentation. This grant provides information which are stipulated also in the MIG, Municipal Infrastructure Grant, when they plan the roads during their technical reports, prioritizing their projects. They use the information from the grant, which is rural asset management, so that it helps them to plan better and prioritize in a synergistic way in terms of their priorities. And the grant is allocated 150 million in this particular financial year. and the other figures in going into the MTF period. That's the conclusion, Chairperson. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Buchanan, for that presentation. The next presenter.
Yeah, Chair, through you, I'm going to ask Mr. Waiti Maphakela to take us through this one. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Maphakela.
Thank you once more, CFO. Thank you, Chairperson. And Chairperson, I think we are meeting again. We had a very long weekend or a long week in the Northern Cape last week, and it has been a successful one. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And maybe before I start, Chairperson, I just want to indicate that within the PRMG, we have got two components that we are dealing with. First of all, we deal with the provincial road maintenance grant, which is a framework to manage this conditional grant, and of which I've got a colleague here, Chairperson, that deals with the financials. And with your approval, I think I'll just request her that she take us through the financials. Then I'll come in to deal with the physical part on how we are managing the physical infrastructure of the project so that there's a congruency between what has been allocated, how it was spent, and what is the physical work that has been provided. If the Chairperson allows me that, I'll call upon or request Zakan Mashimbe just to take the first part of that particular presentation, Chairperson.
Indeed, no problem, Gentleman.
Thank you. Zakan? Okay, Chairperson, maybe she has got the login problem. Let me just talk to that in the meantime. So what is happening, Chairperson, is that much
she was trying to log in. She was kicked out and she tried to log in. I don't know if the host can make sure that she is admitted in the meeting.
Okay.
The committee secretary will do that. But in the meantime, we can allow the CFO to speak to the slides. When she gets in, then the CFO will revert back to her.
Yes, Chair. So this first slide is just show you the historical expenditure of the provincial road maintenance grant. You can see the allocation over this period is 93.7 billion, Chairperson. And over this period in 2013 and 14, the provinces were able to spend 8.2 billion. In 2014 and 15, they were able to spend 9 billion. In 15 and 16, they spent 9.1 billion. In 16 and 17, they spent 9.9 billion. And then in 17 and 18, Chairperson, they spent 10 billion. And 18 and 19, they spent 10.3 billion. And then in the 19 and 20, they spent 11 billion. And in 2021, it went down to 9.8 billion. And in the previous financial year, it increased again to 10.5 billion. So basically, that is the historical spending of the PRMG grant. And you can see here below is some graphical indication as to how the grant was spent in the particular provinces, as indicated with the above schedule. So those two graphs basically are giving us the pictorial analysis of how the provinces and comparative to say how much the provinces are getting. As you can see, some provinces which are big get the higher allocation than our smaller provinces based on the equitable share calculation that is done by Treasury, and in the mix, they also take the information from the rural route asset management tool, which tells them where are the priorities of a particular MTSF period, Chairperson. So this is a breakdown as to how much can be allocated per each component. You can see that the most highest component here is actually your construction with almost 39% of the allocation, and other construction package contract also at 39%. Then we have, as indicated, we have allocation for compensation of employees. We have got allocation for design, feasibility, project initiation, tender process, site handover, terminated, and then we also had a practical completion and final completion allocation, which are the stages that are determined by the construction program in this kind of land. The PRMG allocation are based on a formula that consider the following: the fuel sales, the vehicle kilometer traveled, the condition of the network, as I indicated in my previous comment, and the extent of the network per climate zone. The current PRMG percentage split and budget allocation for the current MTF cycle are indicated in the table below. This is the allocation, Chairperson, for this current financial year that we are in. You can see that the Eastern Cape allocated 357 million, Free State 334, and then Gauteng Province 1.7 billion, KZN 648, and then Limpopo Province 21, and then Mpumalanga 226, and then Northern Cape 266, and then Northwest 239, and Western Cape 240. This allocation is there is for the first tranche payment, Chairperson, which amount to 2.8 billion. Then the final first quarter expenditure against tranche payment, you can see there in the period under review, the Eastern Cape allocation for April, 14 million, then Free State 86, Gauteng 992, KZN 137, and then Limpopo 2.3. I'll not go each line by each, but you can see that the total allocation for the quarter is almost 1.7 billion, and the deviation target as per the expenditure is 1.1, and which gives us an expenditure of a deviation of 39%, and as a total expenditure only at 2.2%. And this is the details breakdown of the allocation of expenditure per project in the current financial year, which as indicated is sitting at the 1.7 billion. The split per percentage, the planning stage 8.3%, construction stage 45%, construction package progress 44%, completion stage 1.9%. And I think from this, I can hand over back to Mr. Mapakela. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, CFO. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just wanted to indicate, Chairperson, maybe just to start with that for the current financial year, as you see it on the slide on the extreme left, we had an allocation of 11.2 billion that the CFO was talking about. So that we allocated according to our outcomes or our indicators. So the indicators that we are trying to address is both the physical, which is the number of kilometers that we are trying to address, and link that with the job opportunities that we want to create. So there we have the targets that we did set. On all the indicators like kilometers of upgrade, the regravel, reseal, So those are the kilometers. I'm not going to get into too detail in terms of that. And what I can also confirm, Chairperson, is that we are guided by the targets that the provinces are setting, because the province will look at their network, and then on the condition of the network, and then they will then come up with the target that they set, and we consolidate those targets to form the national target. So the same with the job opportunities. When you look at the extreme left on the social indicators, we are assisting provinces to create those job opportunities and ensure that the women, youth, and people with disability benefit from the grant itself. So maybe you can go to the next slide. So for the current financial year, Chairperson, as I've already indicated, each province submits their targets. So you can see that the way they set targets differs from province to provinces. So when you look at the first column, we have got the rehabilitation in terms of the square meters. So those are the ones. You look at Eastern Cape, they didn't set any target there in yellow. And then, but we don't penalize them because the way they set their targets is according to how they did it. But they sometimes there are disparities that we identify, where you find that the road network in that particular province, it needed a particular intervention, but the province will deliberately ignore that. That is where we come in and guide the province or push the province towards addressing those, especially if for instance, their roads are very they are the greatest network of their provinces, gravel, and you find that they don't allocate any budget on re-graveling and blading. That is where we come in and say you can't put a minimum of that. So, but just on the analysis itself, you see that from quarter one, and we have been some underachievement, especially on the rehab. Those red ones you see there on percentage. But we are pleased to see that on the re-graveling and also on the blading, you see the green is more than anything. So provinces are doing well, especially when it comes to the blading and also on the graveling, which is on the unpaved road network. So that is encouraging. But that is what we are trying to monitor provinces on. But that needs to be aligned to the tranche that we are giving to the provinces. So maybe we can go to the next slide. So on the next slide, in terms of quarter one performance, you see that quarter one, we have achieved more on the blacktop patching without getting into too detail. So, and because of the previous or the recent floods that did happen, with some of the floods happening, those in Eastern Cape and KZN. So those are the ones that increased the target that were set for the blacktop pitching. But we anticipate that with the program, the new program that the minister just launched on the 8th, it will really make the nationally to be overperforming in terms of the paved network on the pothole pitching. Can we go to the next slide? In terms of the provincial road maintenance grant, we are now revisited the manner in which the grant has been utilized, with a special focus now on the preventative maintenance. So looking at this, we're also looking at the value position, where we will prioritize the road classification. And we look at the rollout of the SANRAL asset management and data warehousing services, where the department, provinces, municipalities, and SANRAL work together in terms of assisting provinces to identify, track, and deal with the portals. And then we'll also look at the strategic route transfer to SANRAL. So as I've indicated when we were with the select committee, I indicated that where provinces fail to deliver on their constitutional mandate, they have got the opportunity in terms of the SANRAL Act to request from the minister through their premiers to request for those roads to be ceded to SANRAL, so that SANRAL can provide a seamless infrastructure to increase access and mobility in their provinces. So we are also looking at the roads that are not they don't qualify in terms of the transfer, then the MOUs are signed between SANRAL and provinces, where SANRAL can help provinces to address those challenges. And where necessary, the MOUs can be signed with between provinces and the municipalities, because most of the strategic provincial and municipal road network, they go through towns, and you find that that national route, then the conditions become somehow different from what it is. So the MOU is the one that will be able to facilitate that particular intervention. So we're also putting in place a sustainable funding model to implement the rollout of all the issues that were raised there. But on the Samba Sonke chapter, and I can just indicate that as a conditional grant, we are currently limiting that to preventative maintenance. In this case, things that will stop our roads to have potholes, things like grass cutting, vegetable clearance, storm drainage, block paving, all those are the things that we are trying to put in place to ensure that we don't come to the level where a pothole is there. But once it is there, there needs to be a plan to address the potholes. Can we go to the next slide? The next slide, please. On the additional support for the provinces, that is where we have requested the technical and experts that is already there with SANRAL to address the issue of the preventative maintenance, as I've already indicated, by ensuring that we do the reseal where necessary, we do the pothole patching where it's required, and then we cut the grass, we clean the culvert. Those are the things that that help us in terms of ensuring that we clean or we take out the water from the surface as quickly as possible. Next slide. So these are, I think I've already spoken about them, the crack ceilings, the cleaning of the drainage. But what I can emphasize is that it is more costly to address the road once it goes beyond the maintenance activities, especially once we don't provide the preventative maintenance. So there, maybe just quickly, just to indicate that for the routine road maintenance, here are the cost that we think it needs to be standardized across the country, because sometimes there is a disparity. You go to one province, you find that for a particular intervention, one province will go too high, but we know exactly what the Quarter Manual is directing us in terms of the cost per either square meter or per kilometer in terms of that particular. But when you look at the pothole itself or reseal, it costs between 70 rand to 150 square meter over a 10-year period. So those are the things that we are using to determine how the preventative maintenance needs to be addressed, so that we don't even go to the area where our roads are beyond repairable. Can we go to the next slide? So on the preventative maintenance, it will be best to address the potholes or the preventative maintenance before we come to the level where the red lines will really make it impossible for us to address the road. So on the green point is where we need to try and put our maintenance at, so that it doesn't cost the department more than is necessary on the maintenance part. Can we go to the next slide? To address the pothole, as I've indicated earlier, Chairperson, we are looking at three areas. The first one is to do the road network verification. In this case, it will mean that the authority concerned, whether it's a municipal or a provincial route, they need to provide us the network or the condition of the road that will be captured on the national repository, which is the SANRAL's ITIS system, where the road, once it has been captured, and then it will then be used to formulate a route and also look at the condition of that particular road network. And then once it's done, then the route will be classified either based on the verification. And then once it has been verified, and then the road will then be allocated to a particular province at number three. So in this case, because once we have got the pothole that has been reported, we don't know where the location of that particular route, which province, but the ones that has been captured and then it has been inserted in the system, Sandal will be able to know who's the ownership or in which ownership that particular route belongs to, and then also the condition of the pothole, and then also the likelihood for that to be attended as quickly as possible. So that will also fall step number two, which will come on the next slide. Next slide, please. So on step two, the ITS system, and then it then directs because we have got two systems. The first one is the Road Authority app, and the second one is the public app. So the Road Authority app enables the road authority, either a municipality or a province, to utilize that particular app in terms of reporting, in terms of manipulating data to determine the actual condition of the road. And once that is done, it's then that that particular information is generated. But at the very same time, we know that it's not only the road authorities that are utilizing the road network. We have also the public. We allow the public, as they identify the potholes on our road, they will be able to utilize that particular app, take a picture of that, and then it will generate the condition of that particular pothole, allocate it to a particular province. Then where the challenge is whose ownership is that, which is something that Sandal is already trying to do. And then if you look at the number two, it says using the Sandal ITS public app, we will be able to capture that. But currently, from the 15th of August, that has been done through the Android, and then followed by the App Store. Since we have launched the program on the 8th of August, so these are the systems that is already happening. But this should be able to quantify the extent at which this pothole is currently. Next slide. On the immediate solution, utilizing the authority app, we are able to develop the special data and for the maintenance team. So once that has been generated, we need to have a fully functional maintenance team from the province. Where a pothole has been reported, we should know where should it go to. Who is the responsible person from the province to deal with that particular app? And once that has been done, the app will be able to generate an information to the person who reported it. It comes from the public app, so that the information updates that particular person to say, we have received this information. This is where it is. This is what the department is doing from the province. And then and how long will it take to fix that particular app? Next slide. On the step number four, then we resolve the identified pothole repair, which might have the following issues to be resolved, which is labor. So in this case, we'll tap into the existing provincial in-house team service providers, if any, and then to address that particular pothole. And also we tap into the Department of Public Works and public works and infrastructure, utilizing the extended public works program, because one of the key areas for this particular program is to ensure that as we address the pothole, Chairperson, we are also contribute significantly towards job creation, and then following the extended public works method that has been developed by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And then if labor force via the public works program not possible, then Sandal will then source directly employed workforce with focus on women, youth, and people with disability. And then we'll also prioritizing the plant or material that is required for the repair to be tapped locally with the provincial arrangement, And then we also want to tap into the standards routine road maintenance service providers appointed per local municipalities, because if work is already happening in a particular province, Sandal is not going to reinvent the wheel or do something that is very, very new. We'll have to utilize the very same information or the same resources that are in the province, work closely with the provinces, work closely with the municipalities, and ensure that their work continues. So can we go to the next slide? So to address the remaining problem, we want Sandal to be directly involved. And then maybe just to couple that we have already the minister have already approved that Sandal signed MOU with the provincial departments in the provinces, and then to be able to tap into some of the funds that Sandal has, especially in terms of the app, in terms of the that they have the ITIS. So those are the things that the MOUs are in place. And also letters have been written to all the 44 district municipalities to bring them on board so that they are assisted in terms of that. And also to ensure that all those authorities where we have identified the in-house team, there is a specific person that has been registered to be the go between the province and the municipalities. And then once that is done, Sandal will make use of the existing road authority staff appointed service provider in all the district municipalities once this is in progress to work closely with that, because it doesn't matter where a public is, wherever he can pick up a pothole, he should be able to utilize that public app to collect information. And then once that information is sent to the ITIS that Sandal is hosting, it needs to generate that information throughout the country, so that whoever authority is responsible for that can be able to address that. So Sandal also to ensure that the workforce is trained on how the app is being used, and also how the repair of the pothole can be done. So it's not just something that they would be left to the provinces. So the provinces and the municipalities will then get that particular special training to deal with the issue of the potholes in terms of the response rate, how to prepare, how to address, and how to fix the pothole. So those are the things that we think will also help us in terms of addressing the challenges on the ground. Next slide, please. So on the completed outstanding for the transfer, I'm not going to get into too detail in terms of that, but I can just indicate that at the beginning, looking at the mandate of Sandal, which was solely for the maintenance, rehabilitation, the funding of the national road network, their network was only limited to 25,000 kilometers of the national road network. Now that the mandate has been revised, Sandal is now given the mandate to go beyond that to ensure that they also assist the provinces in terms of that. So the department and MINMEC took a decision that Sandal's network needs to go beyond 25, up to a maximum of 35,000 kilometers based on the resolution that was taken by MINMEC in 2018. And that will include the transfer of the provincial strategic road network that provinces are struggling to provide adequate funding for those particular roads. And then the province can feel free to request through the premier to transfer those roads to Sandal. But the province needs to keep those particular road networks, then they can facilitate that process through the support of Sandal by signing the MOU with Sandal. I think I just wanted to summarize it on that level, Chairperson. And then the next slide. This where we had the biggest challenge, Chairperson, I've indicated that we have roads that are belonging to Sandal, which are all the blue or the green, let me call it the blue ones. Those are the Sandal roads that are connecting all the provinces. But as we go through towns to towns or through the CBD areas, you'll find that those roads then become the municipal, either municipal or provincial roads. And then looking at the various resolutions that were taken before 2010 and then in 2018 and lately now in 2021, there are some remaining roads that still needs to be transferred to SANRAL. So those sections of the road with the resolution that have been taken are the roads that will be transferred to SANRAL. The one that you can see, they are just linking, they are not properly connected, especially in the towns. Then they will be given to SANRAL based on that one. I just wanted to highlight that. Can you go to the next slide? So on the road maintenance, we have got the medium-term solution. So seeing that the challenges that we are facing in Chapter 7 is not only limited to government. The department have already started with the consultation, consulting the private sector, where they will come and play their specific role. So in this case, it will look at the corporate social responsibility that the SANRAL will play, especially when a road cut across a municipality. SANRAL will do that, and also to for SANRAL to look at the at Section 18A application for SARS to assist those companies that are outside government. When they partner with us, there will be a special concession that SANRAL and the department will request from SARS to exonerate from paying the tax in terms of their participation. So this is how we think we will be able to bring in the private sector and to assist in terms of addressing the condition of the road network. Maybe just to highlight one of the issues, when we were visiting one of the mines in Khartoum, so there is a lot of material that is just lying everywhere there. That I think in terms of the classification of material, it can be a good material for road construction, which is something that we need to tap into and see how the mining industry can be able to contribute towards the betterment of our road network with the material that are heavy. So can we go to the next slide? So the other thing, Chairperson, that we have identified is the Adopt a Road program, which is a program to be used by individual or organization or businesses to help maintain sections of the road as volunteers, or to hire a maintenance service provider to perform the work of their rehab. If you can remember, in the around 2012, 2013, we had a special grant for coal haulage, where we requested the mining industry in the Mpumalanga, Gauteng, and a bit of SANRAL, where those roads that are used for coal haulage to transport material from the mines to where electricity is being generated, they had a special allocation to ensure that those roads, or the condition of those roads, don't deteriorate further, because doing that, it might have a serious effect in terms of the electricity generation. So those are the things that we think, Chairperson, we still need to review them and see how they can be utilized. And this will be done taking into consideration the road authority requirements, things like job creation, skill development as well, and also participation that will include more of the following activities in collaboration with the when we do the grass cutting, gravity removal, cleaning of the drainage, crack sealing. So that is where we'll need partnership, not just the government alone, so that we increase or maximize participation. And then route adoption will typically span up to 5 kilometers for a period between 2 and 3 years. The relevant authority will also erect and adopt a road sign with a adopted route to acknowledge the adopter. So if, for in case, we take a say brewery, adopting a specific length or a specific, let's say 5 kilometers of a route cutting across their particular community, will allow that particular SA brewery to market themselves, but utilizing the logo that we have developed as government. That partnership it's fully marketed and it's also fully recognizable. So can we go to the next one? So the road maintenance, maybe because these slides are many, maybe I just need to touch on the key ones. So on the performance based, we are looking at the unlocking major infrastructure projects and then reduction in the negative environment impact due to the current route within 3 years. And then we look at the efficient use of gearing of government grants and maximizing efficiency to create through economies of scale. And then just not to get into that, but the key here is to increase job creation. As we know that South Africa, especially youth, are amongst those that are without jobs. So we are also see how we can maximize job creation within the road construction and maintenance framework. Can we go to the next slide? So progress to date. So currently, Chairperson, I can just maybe just to take a little bit of time on this to say SANRAL have already have a system which we call the ITIS, which is an integrated transport information system, being developed and available as a tool. And also taking into cognizance that some of the provinces have already have some system that they are utilizing, but it is felt that we needed to have a centralized data repository where all the provinces can submit their data and then to one port where information can be tapped into that, rather than having to approach this in a piecemeal approach. So the first bullet is that SANRAL have already started with the network verification, including building a special road network on the ITIS, and then a training on how to upload own data. In this case, I'm referring to provinces, and extra relevant reports into the centralized repository services for traffic and road condition data has already begun, Chairperson. Road asset management services, which include data analysis, identification, and technical services required, project resource allocation, and what this is what SANRAL is currently finalizing. And then data capture on these, on road accidents and associated information was some of the things that we are looking at, and also to capture all relevant details on the SMME employed on all the projects. As I've said, that the job creation is one of the key elements. And then the ability to undertake virtual project monitoring using the mobile app. So the app is not only just to detect where the pothole is, but it will also assist in terms of consolidating some of this information and ensure that we all learn from this. And after 6 months, once this is done, we'll come back and reconverge as a country with all provinces and municipalities, see what works, what doesn't work, and then maybe come up with a new approach in terms of that. The National Pothole Repair Program was launched. I think this one, we know that it was launched in Gauteng by the minister, but similarly, all provinces were doing the same simultaneously in all the provinces on the 8th of August. So next slide. Yeah, so what will be happening is that the TMH 18, as I've indicated previously, it will help us in terms of zooming into where the potholes are. Because if you look at the way how our road network has been classified, we still have the missing data where we have got a road network that is not captured, or that what is not being categorized. We don't know who is the ownership, and then and once a road is not classified, it cannot be maintained, it cannot be taken responsibility of, because no authorities are responsible for that, like the private roads that goes to the military, to the, you know, all those things. So this app will help us in terms of also classifying those particular roads and also do the verification. Next slide, please. Still on the TMH 18 road network verification. So I can just indicate that SANRAL already communicated with all the districts most let me just say most of the districts, and you will find that each district tried its own best, but with information that has been captured, because they've been utilizing different systems to capture information. Some of them are not compatible for the ITIS that Sanral is utilizing. So Sanral have already indicated that they needed to be assisted by these provinces to ensure that data that has been collected is in a similar or in the same format, that Sanral will be able to utilize that for the GIS mapping for their road network. So here in Limpopo, you can see that the Capricorn, the Mobani, the Kukuni, Vembe, all of them, they don't have information that have been quantified in the system. So there's still a lot of work that needed to be done. So you can see that the only province that tried to assist, you look at the Namakwa and the Northern Cape on this slide, they've got already the uploaded data on the system, ITIS system, which is 2021, which is uploaded. And also when you go to the Western Cape there, you'll find that they've uploaded the Karoo data for the 2021, even though the Cape Winelands, they've done the 2019 data. But this is work in progress. And then let's go to the next slide. You'll find that the Western Cape Overberg, they've got that for the 2019, KZN, Kinsetwayo, and Umkhanyakuti. Those are the small, the rural municipalities that we thought they won't be able to do that, but some of them, they are complying. So which means that once the data the information is compatible with the system that Sanral is utilizing, which means by the end of September, we'll be able to upload at least more than 50% of the data that has been verified and then be utilized for that particular information. So I'm not going to go to each and every province and each and every municipality. You can go to the next one. So on the number of public app downloaded, so we will start, we have started with the launch on the 8th of August. So at a very, very low level, but because we identified those roads for the launch, where we allowed Sanral to capture information on that particular road. Because when the minister and the MECs go on live, and then maybe the media wanted to test the system. So those roads on the 8th were already been captured on the ITIS system of Sanral. So since then, so provinces, all the provinces have already started, and then we believe that by the 16th of August 2020, we were supposed to have received at least more information from the provinces to allow both the Android and also the iOS the apps to start functional. But the unfortunate part is the lack of compatible information that is coming from the provinces, especially from those municipalities that we have seen on the previous slides. Next slide. So on the portal reported, so I can just indicate that since the 8th, so as provinces go along, there are communities based on information or statement that the minister made. They have already started to capture information. And then you can see that some of the provinces are well ahead, but some of them are not moving that much. You look at Mpumalanga and Northwest, they are not reporting that much, but you look at the Gauteng and also Limpopo, the numbers are too high. And then, so which means that there's an appetite from the public to start reporting these portals. And as we move on and we capture this information, so we will be able to understand the extent of the portals in the country so that we are able to address them. Can we go to the next slide? The recommendation on this. So for this, we recommend that members of the Select Committee on Transport, Public Service and Administration take note of the presentation and provide some directives or inputs where necessary so that we can be able to move with speed in terms of implementing the Samba Sonke and the RRAMS program to assist both provinces and municipalities. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Mapakela, for taking us through this last part of the presentation. What we will then do, we will invite input, engagement, and answering questions from the honorable members of the Select Committee. I hope I have noted Honorable Dango, Honorable Mateula. Let's start Honorable Khai. Let's start with Honorable Dango. The place was.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, does the department take into account the question of population density when they are according budgets and when they are doing repairs? Let me make an example of the area from Orange Farm to Johannesburg. There's more than 1 million people there. Have they looked at the R75 to upgrade that particular road so that people don't go onto the N1? Now, the railway has been stripped completely there, so people are using taxis more and more. Have they looked at actually shifting people from the N1, which the taxis can't really afford, to the R75, which is the major road into Johannesburg and to Tshwane? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Dango. Honorable Mateula.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I welcome the presentation. In the presentation, you have indicated that there's 13,853 roads that are identified district and municipalities. Can we at least, because here we are dealing with provincial issues, if we can have a total breakdown of those numbers. For example, you say in Limpopo, in this municipality, in this district, we have such numbers so that we can be able to trace what you are presenting about. As well, also in the recruitment of graduates, we'd like to get the breakdown per province and the gender as well. And then on your presentation as well, you have indicated that there is an app that was introduced to report portals. As you know that in South Africa, not everyone is owning a smartphone. More especially from us, who come from rural areas, we have challenges based on network. You will find that the person wants to report the portal, but she doesn't have a smartphone, or there's a challenge of network to report such things. So I just wanted to check with you, do you have a consider other methods of communicating with communities, especially in rural areas? And then as well, you have said in your presentation that you are going to use the EPWP workers, and then if it's not possible, you are also going to employ workers. I just want to find out, are you going to employ these people temporarily or permanently that you will recruit people that will always patch potholes, and what method are you going to use to recruit such people? And then I want to put to your attention that there was a road in Giani from Ngobe to Shukumba, which cost 40 million. That road was at some point being in social media and media that it was constructed using wheelbarrows. And then when I was driving to that road, I realized that that road is not in a very good condition. So anytime it can have potholes and all those kind of things. So, and also I wanted to check with you, Corey, what kind of methods or program are you using to go to go and do oversight in when the road is constructed before you open it? As well, there's a road between Dingamazi to Shimange village. There was the contractor last year who was closing a pothole there. But through looking, when you drive through that road, you can see that those potholes was not patched very well. The road is not very good at all. As well, there's a road between Shimange to Joko village. That road, it was constructed, but the contractor did not finish it. It's a white elephant. And it's also 5 kilometers there. So I just want to check with you, what plans or programs do you have to look at such roads? Because the Sanral go out and do roads, but at the end of the day, they open roads that are not in good condition. So I just wanted to check with you, Corey, what programs are you having to check up those roads? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Matibula, Honorable Khai.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Greetings to you and Honorable Members and the Department and the Staff of Parliament, and PMG. Chair, let me first express my concern about the late submission of the presentation. Yesterday I was concerned that we didn't have the presentation by yesterday for a meeting that is today. Usually we get the presentation by Friday so that over the weekend we can thoroughly go through the presentations. I had to phone the committee secretary to find out whether we still continue with the meeting or not. But also yesterday were challenges of the ITC in Parliament. Even though that contributed, that I wouldn't say that was the only issue that resulted in us getting the presentation late. It's clear that the department sent the presentation late, but also the situation was made worse by the ITC of Parliament. So I think a very detailed presentation, and also it's the first time as the committee that we're dealing with this kind of a report, which has elements of being technical, and therefore it needed one to have more time to go through this presentation. because we received it after one, and they were already preparing to attend the plenary session yesterday afternoon. So I just wanted to express that concern, the first chair, because now one has not been able to thoroughly go through the presentation. But nevertheless, I have a question I could jot down as I was going through this the presentation. So, I just wanted to find out with regard to the municipal infrastructure grant, because in some municipality, I don't know whether they would be ring fenced within the MIG. There would be monies that are ring-fenced for road construction. Well, my understanding, I may be wrong here, that the MIG is for any infrastructure related, it's a grant for any infrastructure related issues, not necessarily road. So I wanted to check if there would be a ring-fenced amount dedicated towards road construction or road maintenance, so that you don't just give the grant, which is administered by COPTA, but you find that the municipality spends the grant on infrastructure-related issues, but not necessarily road construction or road maintenance, patching and plating, all those categories. The other issue I wanted to check, Chair, on slide 4, it says incentives will be introduced to the municipalities. I just want to find out what kind of I just want to go to the slide, if you allow me. I just want to read what it exactly says.
Which slide is that, Chair?
I'm just checking. There's a slide that talk. Maybe the department will be able to know about it. But there's a slide that talks about the incentives that will be given to the municipalities if they sent the information. I was thinking that it was a slide 4, but I'm making a mistake. But I'm sure the department would know. If I may just leave that one for now, and want to find out with regard to the past performance on RAM's conditional grant framework. It says the past performance, which is 2020-21, there was a 63% that was spent out of the 108 million that was allocated and transferred to municipality. I don't think 63% when you see the conditions.
I think it is the slide that speaks to the rural road conditional grant framework. Yeah, this one.
Yes. So,
can you go up again? The one that has 2020 to 2021, and then 2021 to, so that's the one that speaks to 63%. It's not this one. The one that has reasons not incorporated in equitable share and past performance. I think that is the one. The one that has reasons not incorporated in equitable share and past performance. Let's go up or go down. Go down. I think go down. Yes. Again? Yes, let's go. The one after this? Yes, again? Gogo. I think it will be after this slide. Yes, this one. This is the one, Chair.
Okay. Yes, the 63%, that was not spent. I think 63%, I don't see it as an achievement, Chair, because it means that for about 37% was not achieved. So, and also there are no reasons that are provided. Chair, also, presentation. It is said that in terms of responsibility of municipalities, that they should make provision to maintain ramps after the lifespan of grant. I just wanted more explanation. What is meant by that? I think it's on slide 15. If I'm not mistaken, if there could be clarity on that, on the responsibilities of municipalities, but also then on the responsibilities of the transferring officers. It is said that the transferring officer should ensure that municipal road authorities conduct a regular condition assessment for paved and unpaved roads. I mean, you find that you have those challenges of the unpaid roads. Does it mean, therefore, the transferring officers are not doing their work now that you have those challenges of unpaved roads? But the other issue I wanted to check here is that it relates to the roles of the department and the Department of Transport and the Department of Public Works. To where is the link between what the Department is of Public Works and Infrastructure is doing with regard to the program called the Welisizwe that is responsible for rural bridges. And also the rural roads. Where is the link? Where do is there any sharing of information with regard to this Welisizwe program? There's another slide that talks to the issue of submission of completed quarterly reports. Talks about the template and that these should be submitted 30 days after the end of each quarter. Just wanted to check if provinces are meeting this particular target. PRMG, there's also with regard to the budget paid out vis-a-vis the actual expenditure. See on slide 20, it is said that the Western Cape spent 100%, but also there's a, in terms of deviation, there's 14 million. If there could be an explanation about the 14 million, where did it get that from? 14,684,251. There's also another slide that talks about the project stages. If you can go to that slide that talks about the project stages, because I wanted clarity on the yes, that was the on hold. There's an amount of 990,000 or million. What is on hold mean? But then there's the money that is allocated. If we couldn't have clarity with regard to those that particular issue. I heard that you say that there was no penalty with regard to the provinces that did not, especially with regard to the issues of rehabilitation. I think That slide that talk, if you can go to that slide that, where you have provinces that spend but those or did not provide information. I think Eastern Cape was one of them, and you said you did not penalize them for that because yes, this is I'm worried that when we know that the conditions of road, but with regard to rehabilitation, the Eastern Cape is zero on resealing, there's zero. Wanted to check the, what action, also Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, there's no resealing, though there is in KZN the rehabilitation, but there's no resealing. Northern Cape, there's no resealing. Western, yes. So what are the reasons why they're not providing information with regard to those categories? Chair, then on the issue of the National Potholes Repair Program, I see that it is said that this will be over a period of 6 months. Is the 6 months enough to deal, repair all the potholes in the country? Just want a clarity with regard to that. And the second issue related to that, I see that transport. I want to check if what if provinces do not want to part with their provincial road maintenance grant? Can the government, I mean, the national department go ahead and have this arrangement with the SANRAL on the repair of potholes, or provinces don't have a choice to agree on or not to agree? But also related to the issue of the app, if the app can do this ITIS app, whether it is the road, the ITS authority app or the public app, if it can do this work, why can't then the RAMS then do the same, maybe use the app to load information that relate to the other forms of road, whether it's rural or other networks, road networks, if this app can do the work, why can't we just use the app to do that? And then on the issue of the network verification status, which is the last one, sir, I just want to know, why other provinces have not complied? You indicated that there are provinces that have complied, Northern Cape, I think Western Cape, if not mistaken, Limpopo, but others have not complied. You even indicated that small rural municipalities have been able to comply in terms of verification status, but you didn't explain why others are not complying. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Khaya, for those questions. maybe just to build on the point raised by Honorable Khaya on the rural road asset management system. in the slide that speaks to the municipalities that have already complied, I see that in the Northern Cape there is only two districts, Namakwa and John Talakaitewi, that have complied with the that have loaded the data I want to know the what is the assistance that the department is giving to those municipalities across the country that have not loaded the data, given the importance of this data on the planning, because clearly without the data, it becomes very difficult for the department to come to the rescue of this rural district. The second one is in relation to 44, I think it's district municipalities that are giving more the support in terms of district development model. What is the posture of the department in terms of support to this 44 district municipalities that are giving more support in terms of the district development model? The second one, Chair, relates to the slide that was presented by the CFO in terms of the figures. In terms of the slide that speaks to the 94% of PRMG spent against allocations over a 9-year period. The column that speaks to the deviation, if you could just probably speak more in relation to this slide to get a sense as to the magnitude of the deviation, the intervention that the department could bring to the table to ensure that this slide of 94% is addressed, because clearly there will be those municipalities that have not spent their grants. The third one relates to the support that the department is giving to SANRAL in terms of the projects that were cancelled that were supposed to be awarded, particularly given the importance of the infrastructure as a catalytic sector envisaged to turn around the economy in terms of infrastructure development, particularly given the fact that it has been in the news. Then the fourth one, Chair, relates to the slide that speaks to the private sector involvement under the slide that speaks to corporate social responsibility. To what extent is the department engaging with the Infrastructure South Africa through the work that is done by Professor Ramakopa to harness this window of opportunities? Because clearly one of the tools used there is adopt a road program. So it will be important just to get a sense in terms of the interaction that that the department is working hand in hand with the Infrastructure South Africa unit in the presidency, and also in collaboration with the Department of Public Works, because they raised as an issue this matter of the cancellation of the of the bed to award the roof. Other than that, Chair, I think I'm fine. Except also just to put emphasis on the issue of the potholes reported by Public Works. If it is 6 months, what is the target that the Department of Transport has set for this intervention? Because definitely, I think it's a matter of importance that the department has identified the need to strengthen the work of the local government with regard to the pothole ceiling. I would want to know whether the target has been set and whether are we of the view that within 6 months, the target that the department has set in terms of assisting municipalities to seal the potholes, they would have done that, they would have met the target, because it is important that we build on the momentum that the minister has created in terms of this potholes Valazonge. And are we of the view that after 6 months the intended work would have been finalized by the end of the 6 months period? Thank you. Over to you, CFO.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for the honourable members for their questions, and some of them were comments. I'm going to allow Chairperson, through you, my colleagues to respond, and then I can make closing remarks after they've done. And I'll just perhaps start with as we have started. We'll start with the rural questions related to the rural road asset management. Then we'll go to the questions relating to the PRMG, and then we'll deal with the questions relating to the financials of the both the grants. In that order, let's start with Musondes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me attempt to provide a response to a minimum of 10 questions, as I was noting in terms of proceedings on the line of questioning. The first question is about the graduates, the number of graduates per municipality, the three municipalities, which is also in a province. I've got the list. I'm not sure that I'll be able to say, but what is interesting about this graduate, as public sector, we employ this graduate from school, and the private sector is recruiting from them. Chairperson, I'm not able to say on my side, but I can provide the list to you, Chairperson. I have got the list. The latest one has been 30th of June this year. The second question was on MIG, the Municipal Infrastructure Grant, which is administered by COGTA. MIG funds the infrastructure itself, roads, water, refuse, and sports fields. The big majority of MIG or the big fund or budget of MIG fund water in this country. Roads are about 23%, and the rest is shared between refuse and sports and other infrastructure related activities. Now, MIG also funds construction and not maintenance in the main. Now we're saying the road asset management data that is being collected assists the MIG or the municipalities to plan better on roads. When we started, we didn't have the data on roads, it's about 4%. Now we have covered the whole country. The municipalities are able to do the technical report business plans and prioritize which roads must be built in that particular year. So there's value to say focus also on maintenance of what we have built with MAGE. That's what the REMS is trying to promote. The third one on incentives, we are saying once you do the planning, you are able to influence the strategy of the municipality. So we look at the incentives of employing this graduate, also saying if you plan properly, you are able to preserve your network. Then the incentive there is to say continue planning, continue collecting data in a consistent way. So that's the incentives we are intending to give municipalities. They are at different stages. We look doing that. The fourth one, about 63%. The funding is there, but municipalities don't spend the budget fully due to problems like delay in procurement and also delay in spending that money in a particular financial year. You find that municipalities in the majority, they apply for rollovers, which are not necessarily get approvals. The fourth one on responsibilities and building capacity at local level is what we are promoting. The REMS now is being facilitated or implemented by DOT at national level. We are saying municipalities, you own these roads, take responsibility of this managing your asset. It shouldn't be a Department of Transport for the future years. Build capacity so that you can manage this function, because this is your asset at the end of the day. The sixth part, the unpaved roads. This country has got paved and unpaved roads. It's a situation that you will sit with due to budget constraints. The majority of network is unpaved and it's sitting with the municipalities and partly provinces. Sandra doesn't have unpaved roads. So the road authorities, we need assistance with the budget so that we can surface all our roads. That is a desired outcome. The Welisi's rural roads is a program under Public Works. We had an engagement with Infrastructure South Africa on the two programs. It's work in progress. There's a number of bridges that has been given by provinces to Public Works. We are aware of the number, but I'm not able to share the progress this time until the report that is shared with us. I understand the minister is in KZN and also talking to this program. The event is happening this week. Regarding the reports are regulatory. They are required monthly and per quarter and an annual evaluation. These reports are also sent or are sent to National Treasury as per the requirement and agreement. And this is documented in the conditional grant framework together with DPME. In terms of monitoring and evaluation. The APE or the Team H18, let me start with that. The Team H18 means the 10-car manual for highways. Then 18, the description is data exchange format. So as department or as the road authorities, we have managed to create a standard so that when you collect data, you collect it in the same way everybody. Then when you share the data, you share it in the same way everybody. And now the problem we are sitting with, or the challenge currently we are sitting with, is that the 10818 has got different versions. One authority, Sandra, has got an advanced what called the latest version of 10818, and we have engaged them in June to say let's workshop the latest version for all authorities. The data is there. The challenge we're having is compatibility, as my colleague was saying. The data is there, that's a compatibility to to load it in the ITIS. So the assistance we're giving to Sandar is to say all these authorities, they have collected the information and it is in this version of PMHAP. Now we are planning to have a workshop that the latest version is workshopped with all the local authorities. I think the last question will be DDM. In terms of DDM, our contribution is the data that we have managed to collect, and that data now assists into, how do you call it, into achieving the one plan at one district. So when the road sector comes in, you will be able to say, this is the plan of roads in this district. And everybody agrees to that. Similarly, water and other services as part of DDM. We are participating with COPTA. They've got this function. They are consulting sector departments and the spheres of government so that our targeted implementation is informed by this one plan and one budget at that level. Since Chairperson, I'm covered what I've noted on my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I've noted the one from Honorable Dango on the population density, whether when we allocate these funds, when we are addressing this PRMG, are we also looking at the upgrading of some of the roads? I've noted this, the R75 upgrades to try and relieve pressure on the national road, which is N1. Yes, I can indicate that we do that. If you look at one of the slides, I can't remember the slides, where we're looking at the formula that is being used to allocate funds to various provinces. So issues like the traffic, the extent of network, the topography, those are the things that we take into consideration. And then the population density, it is one of them, because if you look at Northern Cape, this has been Gauteng. Gauteng, I think it can go more than five times to the Northern Cape, but you look at the population population density in Northern Cape, it's very, very, very small. But you look at the area the area in Gauteng is very small, but with a high number of population. So those are the things that we are taking into consideration. Also, like the fuel, the pattern under which the fuel has been sold, and then they utilize in the kilometers. Those are the things that we really take into consideration when we do that. And then we are aware, Chairperson, that at most we want to relieve the congestion on the national roads. And that can only be done if the condition of our provincial roads that are parallel to the national roads are also in good condition, so that there's a flow of traffic from the main or the primary road network to the secondary road network. So we do consider that. I can just indicate. But it also lies, or it also depend on the province prioritization, because what we might prioritize as national provinces might not see that as a priority. And then the second question that I got is from Honorable Matewula on the breakdown of the municipalities when we talk about their network. So that I think it will definitely we consider that, but it will come very clear once all the data has been uploaded on the ITIS that Sandal has in the format that that Sandal has requested. I think my colleague Msondezi was just indicating the format that is required in terms of the PMHAP. So that is being considered as well, and then we are dealing with that. And then on the app itself, introduced to report portals, not all rural residents have got the capacity, or people in the rural areas are using the smartphones to be able to that. So yes, there is an alternative. The alternative, remember, this is a new, it's something to enhance on what is happening currently. So if somebody in the rural areas, they don't have the technology to report the pothole, they can as well report to the nearest Department of Transport or the traffic department, because I think that is the only option right now, because the technology one is the most advanced in terms of adding to that. So, but if we have an alternative that we can add on the current, we will really appreciate that, the honorable member. So that we know exactly what we can be able to assist with, especially the rural communities that want to report the potholes in their areas. So on the use of EPWP employed workers, are they employed temporarily or is it permanent or whatever? So I think this draws back to what Cabinet approved sometimes to say, looking at the high number of unemployment inequality and other issues, we needed to create full-time equivalent jobs, not the permanent jobs, but full-time, where we can try and place people on equivalent jobs rather than being permanent. So I can confirm that the EPWP thinking was not to create a permanent job, but to ensure that we put bread on the table for some of the impoverished families, Chairperson. So, and that needs to be there up until the ailing economy is brought up to speed, so that we are able to create more permanent and sustainable job opportunities. Yeah, so I think I just wanted to highlight on that, Chairperson. On the Samba Songa Road, the cost, the R40, I don't know how to put it, from Gove to Sishuba Road, I didn't capture that in full, but what I can get is that there was a 40 million rand that was allocated or that was paid for the contractors to construct that particular road using a wheelbarrow, and the condition of the road is not that good. What I can indicate, Chairperson, remember we have got three spheres of government, the provincial, the municipal, and the national road, each with its own independence in terms of Section 4 and 5 of the Constitution. So for us is to supplement what the provinces and municipalities are currently doing, and also provide that monitoring role to ensure that what has been put as a target is indeed achieved. So when it comes to who gets appointed or contracted to do a particular work, we don't have a say to that. But we come, as my colleague was saying, with the standard, the KOTO standard, to ensure that whatever intervention is brought is in line with the KOTO manual. If, for instance, somebody says doing a rehab on that particular condition of a road network, or is going through the wetlands and various whatever, if there are culverts or bridges to be constructed, what method and what quality and standard do we need to apply? Mm-hmm. That is what the Department of Transport and National comes in. But those are the things that we are doing. But at the practical part, Chairperson, we do have a team. So we have clustered all our provinces into 9, with every person specifically allocated as a cluster leader, from national to work with the provinces in terms of monitoring the project. So it starts with the identification of the project, seeing that the project is aligned to the provincial road maintenance grant framework, And once it complies, then we go to the Division of Revenue, we upload it into the system, we put it in the what we call the root, the IRM infrastructure reporting module that is being managed by the National Treasury, to ensure that once the project has been approved, gazetted by the provincial legislature, it is on their blue book, and then we monitor that project according to that. That is exactly what we are doing. But when they contract or they award tenders, we don't get involved at that particular level, Chairperson. And then the other one is how do we monitor? Okay, I think I've just captured that. And then still under honorable member, he says there is a road between Chimange, which now becomes a white elephant over a kilometer, 5 kilometer stretch. What program do we have to monitor? So as I'm saying, from the beginning, once a road has been approved, and then we monitor the expenditure. We have got what we call a risk assessment. Every quarter, every month, actually, we monitor expending vis-a-vis what has been allocated. And if it's allocated, then the team that is managed by Madam Zakani, unfortunately, she couldn't manage to log on because of the network at the department. They look at the IRM and look at the expenditure in the previous month, and then pick up projects that are with a high expenditure and dispatch the team to go and do the visual condition assessment with the technical team that deals with the standards. So that is exactly what we do in terms of monitoring those. And then once that is done, there will be a report looking at the number of, kilometers that this has been the target, whether that has been achieved, how many people were employed, how many women, how many youth, the impact of that project on this, because it's not just about the infrastructure, it's also value for money and also the impact to the local people. Those are the things that we have put together in our program to ensure that we achieve all those indicators. So, yeah. The next one that I've noted, I think, Chairperson, that relates to this is the late submission of the presentation. This one, I won't comment on that. Maybe my seniors will apologize in terms of the challenges that or what led to this. I'm really not. So on the RMs, I think my colleagues have noted that, and also the 63% has been addressed. What is the link between Welisizwe? I think my colleague have also spoken to that, which is SIP 26 and SIP 27, rural roads and rural bridges, which is something that the president during his last State of the Nation address indicated the number of bridges that needed to be constructed during the current financial year and the number of rural roads that needed to be upgraded from gravel to paved network. So we are working closely with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, especially with Dr. Ramokopa and the team in ISA. We meet with Zanvile more often, and then so that we do the alignment, especially on the Welisizwe Bridge. So my colleague have already covered that. And then on the slide that the honorable chairperson, the co-chair, have indicated on the projects on hold, what were on hold? I think when that was done, maybe my colleague Zakan will be able to talk to that. That slide was to be hidden because that slide is the one that we present normally every quarter, just to look at that particular month, what are the projects on design, what are on construction, what are on this. So that slide, because on hold, we'll talk about those where we are applying the penalties that comes with the Division of Revenue Act if a province fails to comply, and then what measures do we take as National Department of Transport? So we'll put, actually we'll hold, talk to the province and then get the reason why they're not complying, what measures are in place to address or speed up the process to get capture or to come to speed with what has been planned. So we will put the money on hold up until there is a report that comes from the province to say, yes, we have noted, and this is our catch-up plan to try and address the issue. So that slide, I think my colleague, she did hide it, but unfortunately it came right now. That is exactly how we utilize the, we monitor the project based on that. What action has been taken for not having a target of resealing, especially what came on one of the slides where the Eastern Cape, you didn't have any projects on resale. So what I can indicate is not only resale, Chairperson, is in all the indicators that the provinces are doing. If for in case the province have realized that the condition of the road network have gone so bad that we cannot do a resale on a particular road, you will see, I mean, they will decide not to do a resale, but to do a rehab. And when they do their network is more on rehab, definitely there will be low expenditure or low target on resale, because of a resale, it end up being a rehabilitation. So we don't penalize them per se, because what is more important is that they address the condition of their road network, either on putting a new surface or on the, because those are the things that I think I just wanted to indicate, that it's not necessarily that when they don't have a target on resale, it will mean that they've defaulted. It will mean that they've prioritized, they've got more capital to address the road through rehab rather than resale. So maybe I'll just go past that one. On the pothole patching, the way we have put the target, we said we launch on the 8th of August, and then we anticipate to take this program over the next 6 months to assist provinces to do the potholing and then ensure that our routes are back to square one. So what I can indicate, Chairperson, maybe upfront, is that a pothole is just a symptom of poor preventative maintenance. If we don't apply those grass cutting, we don't do resale, we don't do, you know, those routine road maintenance, the road, the condition of the road will then deteriorate such that water stays on the road. And then once the water is there for a particular period, then there's an ingress onto the road surface, and then a pothole will then emerge. So we will want to deal with that now. Now, for now until the end of the 6 months. Once we come to that particular level, we believe that we should have addressed the critical pothole, because you can't stop a pothole from forming, but we can only stop a pothole once we have got those preventative maintenance. So after 6 months, we will come together with the provinces and municipalities and review the program, because we don't want the pothole program to be a permanent intervention. It's just temporary up until we have addressed the backlog in terms of the maintenance. So I think let me just pause there in terms of the pothole on how we will want to address them. It's not permanent, it is temporary. And if a road cannot be patched anymore, then we need to go beyond the pothole, because you patch it today, tomorrow it will start somewhere, Chairperson. So the province does not want to participate in the pothole program. Maybe I can just indicate that when the provinces submit their annual performance plan, the APP, they do have all the indicators, the six indicators, rehab, resale, upgrading, all those. So pothole patching, which we call it a blacktop patching, is one of the indicators that they submit. But unless if they show to us that all the rows are so good. But we know that the pothole can form at any time. If a truck comes there and find that the surface is not even, and then something might happen to it. And then I think I've covered more, but let me just go to Co-Chair Moimang, where you had said, talking about the rural roads management system. I think we have gone there to the 894. Private, or on the private sector involvement, CSI, what is DOT engaging with I think we covered that one. For me, Chairperson, I think I tried to address all those I managed to note down. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ndadima Pakela. I see Sakane has a hand up.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine was basically just to maybe fill in the gaps where certain responses couldn't be provided. I'm not sure if the CFO is able to just go to the slide. There was a question regarding where does the 14 million come from. I wasn't able to place it on the table because it went by very quickly. So maybe I'll just start there and then address the other two questions that came up. It's before this, so you go to the financial tables. I think it's a table before this, yeah, the one just before this slide. One further. Yeah. There was a question about a 14 million. I'm not sure which one exactly is being referred to on this particular slide.
I'm trying to chat also. I think it's the question that was posed by Honorable Khai.
Yeah.
If you look at the Western Cape.
Yeah, Western Cape, yes.
Yes, the 14 million.
Yes.
At the Northern, at the Western Cape one, at the bottom there. Under deviation received versus actual expenditure.
Oh, okay. So basically, all the provinces are required to report their expenditure for all projects that are on the ground on the IRM system that is hosted by the National Treasury. So this is a requirement for all infrastructure departments, and it's done nationwide. So basically, at the beginning of the financial year, they're going to capture all the allocations as you see on the second column. So you see each province coming through for what they received over the 9-year period. In cases where, just like you see on the deviation table that's appearing there, the second to last column, all the reds that you're seeing there are there because provinces didn't manage to finish whatever they were given. So these reds are what contributes to that 5.82 that is underspent. So that 14 million that you see for Western Cape most probably came from the equitable share. So it does so happen that certain projects cannot be split in terms of their source of funding upon capturing because it's either too cumbersome or the province is struggling in terms of having that appearing to show, especially with your co-funded projects. So once the province exceeds 100%, it's clear that the other funds came from the equitable share budgets. And in terms of equitable share, you've got provinces that do not have that at all, but I know Western Cape is one of those that are funded when it comes to that. So that 14 million deviation in black shows you that they had other funds over and above the PRMG, as my colleagues already alluded to the fact that PRMG is a conditional grant, but more especially supplementary. The idea is that each province has equitable share, which is what they're going to use to do their upgrades and all their excessive rehab that needs to be done on their roads. But then the PRMG comes in to just supplement the maintenance part of things. So that's where it comes from. I think the chairperson also brought a question regarding the deviation as to what is that deviation and what it is that we are doing to take up the deviation. So the deviation column doesn't mean that there's something excessively wrong that the provinces did. It just shows you the difference in spending. So looking at the fact that on this particular slide, over the 9 years, we've got the reds more than the black, it shows you that there's more under expenditure than the provinces exceeding. So that 5.5 billion that you see there was underspent over the 9 years at the time of reporting. So as I've mentioned, the IRM, it allows them to capture the expenditure, but everything that you see on here is data that comes from the system as at year end when we do the closeout report. So it's reported as the provinces go, come here, and we draw the data from the system. However, that under expenditure doesn't speak for what happened after that process has been closed. So it's just a reflection of what spending looked like when the year closed. However, each province goes on further to engage their provincial treasuries and national treasury in request for rollover funding, just to make sure that they find themselves at 100% spend. So this just doesn't get reported on the IRM as it's often done or concluded more or less around this time of the year, which is your July and August. So yeah, it's not a deviation, and most provinces have requested for their funds to be rolled over. Most have been approved. So chances are that 5% that you see there has been utilized towards the roads. We just flag it as a department to make sure that provinces are aware that their ideal situation is to use up their funds in the year that has been allocated. However, understanding that there are times when they've got commitments, however, are not able to spend before we close the year end of March. That was addressing the issue from the chairperson and the 14 million. There was a question on project status. Please move on to the next slide, CFO. I think it was regarding the project on hold. Okay, this one is basically something that we do, as my colleague has already mentioned, at the end of every quarter. So based on our M&E activities, we sit with each province individually and engage with how they spent the PRMG funds as they are bound by certain conditions. So the idea with PRMG projects is that they're only going to use it on shovel-ready projects, but it does happen that your province either doesn't have equitable share, which is something that we're struggling to have come to the fore from the provincial legislature side. And sometimes you do find that provinces are using their in-house teams for implementation. That's why you will see your capital costs coming through. So the top part that I've highlighted there in blue is basically, I've called it planning status because we see that as capital expenditure, just mainly based on the fact that PRMG doesn't expect to see their design, feasibility, tendering, and all those cost side hand over to contractor and you're on hold. So in cases where you see on hold coming through, this happens when provinces are either having to stop a project in the process of implementation due to maybe the communities coming through and hijacking sites because of that whole 30% subcontracting that most contractors are struggling with from the communities. So either that, or you find that the province has litigation cases that they're dealing with, and certain projects have to be put to a stop until they're resolved. So on hold is basically a capital cost that the provinces end up having to bear when such situations occur. The rest is basically, you'll see when you're terminated, these are costs that come through. You've got your not applicable, this hasn't been determined as well. However, the DOT has been trying to engage with National Treasury to get to a point where the system has what you call input controls to make sure that certain costs are not captured under a grant such as this. However, this is an ongoing process and we haven't managed to win at this point. So that's why you see that that 4.8 billion coming through. And maybe it's good to also mention that it's sitting at 6.65 right now, 6.65%, which is a huge improvement from the past, because we've had cases where in some years we were sitting at about your 12%. So on average, this is where we are over the 9 years. And maybe it's also worth noting that this is basically based on what I've got on the system. You'll see that the slide shows it from 2015-16 only because that was the time that NT put in place this particular system of reporting. So we've got those first few years at the start of PRMG that are not accounted for in terms of the particular system that DOT could use. I hope I've answered most of the questions that were not covered. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Akani. for that. Any follow-up, honorable members? Any question that you might have a second bite? Honorable Khair?
Thank you, Chair. I just worried about the target of 6 months, Chair. I don't know whether there was any need to put up to the public the issue of the 6 months, other than that the government in all spheres focus on repairing the potholes, because if they don't meet the 6 months, I know Mr. Mafagela was saying that they will then have a meeting and sit down and assess. But up there, the issue would be that you have not met the 6 months. There are still potholes everywhere. I think 6 months is too soon, Chair. I don't know whether there was any need for it. I know it's got to do with the funding as well. I'm just concerned about the 6 months. Next week it will be the 6th of September, and there's not much that has been done. So 1 month will go without having seen anything much. So in 2 weeks' time, you'll be on the 6th of September. Just worried about the time frame on the portfolio repairing. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Khair. Honorable Matibula.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe if we can get the contact details of the one who's serving in the risk management team, so that when we come across the challenges, some challenges, we can direct the question to them to assist us, Chair. That was my request.
Okay. Thanks. CFO?
Yes, thank you, Chair. We will communicate the official responsible for the risk management on the PRMG and communicate with the committee accordingly. Thanks, Chair. Later today.
Thank you, CFO and the team for a comprehensive response to the engagement that were posed by honorable members of the Select Committee on Transport. Indeed, the update helped us a lot in terms of appreciating the approach, not only in terms of the rural road management system, but also key intervention program that the department has introduced. And we are looking forward to see the department through the collaboration of the province through the provincial road maintenance bank, ensuring that the roads are paved, roads are sealed, potholes are closed, so that we are able to instill confidence in the work that the government does. What will be critical is indeed to take into account the issue that Honorable Khair has raised, to say it is important that we keep the public informed in an event we have not made any serious impact upon the completion of 6 months, so that we are then able to also take our constituency into confidence in terms of what measures will be put in place to remedy the situation. But other than that, on behalf of the Select Committee, let me express our gratitude to yourself, the CFO, and also your team. Indeed, we were with Mr. Mapagela last week in the province from Tonital Highway Development district to Franz Wart district municipalities, he appreciates one of the concerns that we raised around the Paragraph 31 that keeps on capturing the center stage in terms of its stage, and we're looking forward to the interaction between the team and the minister so that the assistance and the intervention from the department to the province materializes. And on that note, let me again also express my gratitude to the honorable members of the Select Committee for ensuring that indeed this meeting becomes a success to engagement. Of course, appreciating the concerns raised by members that it's important that at least timely we receive the presentations so that we also allow our research team to make a reflection and to lift some of the issues that they would want us to raise with the team. And we are looking forward to our next engagement. So therefore, the meeting having also expressed gratitude to the management team of Parliament, of the committee, the researcher, the committee secretary, and also our communication team at PMG, that me formally and officially attend the meeting. Thank you, honourable members.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and honourable members.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Bye.
You managed to log in?
Yes, Chair.
Recording
stopped. Next week, we might have a challenge with the ministerial briefing. Which department are we hosting next week?
Public Service and Administration.
Public Service and Administration. We are just going to check in terms of the ministerial briefing. It looks like it's supposed to be on Wednesday, which might prompt us to postpone our meeting.
Okay, no, I will check.
Yeah, just check the program. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good.